Live and local, we are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parch III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Raging Cajun legend Brian Mitchell.
My dream was always to play in the NFL, so having an opportunity was the main thing I needed.
LSU College World Series hero Warren Morris.
I don't get tired of talking about it. You know, if people remember me for that home run and winning that championship, I think that's great.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Good morning. This is RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. I'm broadcasting live from downtown Natchitoches, Louisiana for the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame weekend. Cody Schutz, the producer extraordinaire, is manning the ones and twos as always back there in the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Cody, how you doing this morning, brother?
I'm doing great, man. It's Friday. I'm hyped. Super Regional Baseball is here. And this is one of my favorite times of the year, man.
And you're also hyped because you already have, I want to say, I'm not spoiling it for anyone on the air, you already have some familiar tickets to go to Alex Box Stadium this weekend, correct?
Believe that, and guess what? I've even endeared myself to my dear old dad a little bit more. My younger sister has some kind of, anniversary dance review. Like, the school she danced at is having some kind of anniversary thing tonight, and I got roped into going to it some type of way, but it also is endearing me to my dear old dad even more. So now if he doesn't give me the ticket, I have something to hang over his head. So, yes, I have finally, I think, secured my spot, locked it down.
Come on, Dad. I took one for the team.
Right. I haven't gone to one of these things since I was, like, 17 years old. Like, come on now. I'm almost 30.
So we're going to have a good time. We'll have the typical stuff. We'll have our LSU talk. We'll have our Saints talk with our boy Barry Hurstis. You know, he'll be joining us as always there in the second hour. But we're going to change things up a little bit because this is going to be a special Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame edition of the show. I was able to go to the press conference yesterday where they introduced the class. You can read about this year's class. If you go to the 103.7 The Game website, just go check it out. Go to my blogs. You get to see all the profiles on all the Hall of Famers, athletes, coaches, former sports journalists, broadcasters, the whole nine yards. It's up there for you to go check out. We also just posted a story kind of recapping yesterday's presser. We got to meet everyone except Peyton Manning. We get to have him today. He's coming in. He had some prior obligation, so he'll be coming in with his own press conference later today. That'll be around 5 to 5:30. So we'll have some of that Peyton Manning press conference for you guys on Monday's show. Now, what do we got lined up for you? I was able to get not one, not two, not three, but four interviews with people associated with the Hall of Fame, three Hall of Famers, and one person who promotes the Hall of Fame probably better than anyone else. Coming up this hour, we'll have the man who is only 32 wins away from becoming the winningest coach in Louisiana high school basketball history. That is Charles Smith from Peabody Magnet High School. He's been there 40 years, multiple state championships. Got a chance to catch up with Coach Charles Smith. He's being inducted on Saturday. Also, later this hour, I have a talk with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. When you're the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Louisiana, one of your jobs is help promote tourism for this state. Billy is a huge supporter of the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Caught up with him. Also wanted to get his insight, so to speak, his opinion on how the Tigers and Saints are looking this year. And, of course, Billy has an opinion about that, as always. Second hour, we'll have my rant of the week, RPOs with RP3, which Cody assures me is going to be just off the chain lit, as the kids would say.
J'aime jouer au foot, Raymond?
We'll also, as we said, talk with our boy Barry Hurstis. He's going to give us a report from the final week of OTAs for the Saints and also get his opinion on the Saints Hall of Fame class. And then we'll wrap up the second hour talking to Southern baseball's iconic coach, a legend. And I'll tell you this, listening to him yesterday at the press conference, I was ready to go play for him. Like, just, I was ready. I'm 40 years old, and I was ready to be like, Coach, let's go. Where are we going? Roger Cador, he'll be inducted this weekend as well. Third hour, we're going to close it out strong for you guys. We got an interview with former LSU star Marlon Favorite. It's all about Les Miles, what the experience was like playing for Les. Marlon started off playing for Nick Saban, then he played for Les, and how much Les Miles means to him. And Marlon's got some interesting stories involving rap music and Les Miles dancing. You need to make sure to tune in for that. And then we'll also have a terrific interview with an LSU legend, a former All-American, a member of the 1958 National Championship team from Faraday, Louisiana, Max Fugler. He's being inducted this weekend as well. But let's get right to it. Cody already mentioned it. It's a big weekend, not only here in Natchitoches for the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, but it's also a huge weekend in Baton Rouge, because LSU is taking on Florida State in the Baton Rouge Super Regionals. First time Florida State has played in Baton Rouge for baseball, despite these two programs being two of the more iconic programs in college baseball history. We've already talked about it on this week's show. Is Mike Martin, Florida State's longtime head coach, 40-plus years. This is a man who is the all-time winningest coach in college baseball history. He's finished as national runner-up a few times. He's been to multiple College World Series. Never won a College World Series. All the times he's been to Omaha, all the wins over the years, all the pros that he's coached to send to the next level, man's never been able to win the whole thing. And this is his last year. He's already announced his retirement from the game. Him and Skip Bertman have a connection because they're friends. Now, these two teams have played each other back in the days of the old classic that was held down in the Superdome. So they faced off, but they've never faced off in Baton Rouge. Paul Maneri, the longtime head baseball coach for the Tigers, has an immense amount of respect for Mike Martin and the Florida State program. And very much these two teams kind of mirror one another, because if you remember, it wasn't that long ago that both of these teams didn't appear that they would even make it to a regional or through a regional. And let's go back a little bit here. LSU baseball was struggling. They had what I've referred to as the plague of arm soreness that was affecting them. And then some inconsistency at the plate. And after that Ole Miss series at home, which they lost for the first time to the Rebels at home since 1982, they dropped 2 of 3 there, got stomped by Louisiana Tech at home, went on the road, dropped the first two games of that series against Arkansas. People were talking about that Paul Maneri's time is come to an end. They were drawing comparisons to what happened with Les Miles towards the end of his tenure as the football coach. Some people were asking for Paul Maneri to be fired, believe it or not. And they turned it on. They turned a corner. They won that last game, avoided the sweep against Arkansas, finished the season strong, midweek victory, took 2 of 3 from Auburn. Landon Marceau pitched beautifully against Auburn in that regular season series. They go to the SEC tournament. They're still on the outside looking in of hosting a regional. All the projections, D1 baseball, all those had the Tigers on the outside looking in. What'd they do? They made a run in the SEC tournament. They had that epic 17-inning game versus Mississippi State, the longest game in SEC tournament history, the longest game, innings, or actual time in LSU program history. They make a run in the SEC tournament like they always do. And then they win their regional. Don't drop a game. And here they are hosting a super regional. And they're hosting it against a team in Florida State that didn't even appear that it was even going to make a regional. They were struggling in Mike Martin's last season. They've struggled the last couple years since they last went to Omaha, where they, coincidentally, were eliminated by LSU back in 2017. But they got hot at the right time. They got themselves into the Athens Regional, hosted by the Georgia Bulldogs, a team that took 2 of 3 from LSU during the regular season, the number 4 national seed, and just went in there and clobbered everyone they faced. Double-digit runs every game. Absolutely mollywopped the Bulldogs to win the regional. And here we are. It's June. And two teams that a month ago, fan bases for both, were whining and complaining, here they are in a super regional. 2 wins away from going to Omaha for the College World Series. Not a bad way to end the season, and maybe people shouldn't pretend like the sky is falling all the time. Seminoles are 39-21 overall. They are the underdog, obviously. They're going to look to upset LSU, who's 40 wins and 24 losses. Best of 3-game series. As Cody says, that begins Saturday. You can listen to all 3 games live here, including pregame shows right here on 103.7 The Game. I'll ask you, Mr. Schutz, you got your tickets. You're going with Papa Schutz back to the box. Get you some super regional action in this weekend. You couldn't really ask for a better matchup. 2 iconic programs, 2 of the best coaches in all of college baseball facing off. This is a marquee matchup if there ever was one. This is the type of matchup that you usually hope for to see in Omaha at the College World Series.
We want
Die
Bama.
Hard LSU.
We want Bama.
We want Bama.
We want Bama.
Oh, you can have Bama this year in baseball, or last year, or the year before. That's been a long time since Jim Wells coached the Crimson Tide, and they were making it to Omaha, losing to LSU, but still at least getting to Omaha. But what do you think about the matchup, brother? It's got to be the best of the weekend.
Yeah, to your actual point, I can't think. I mean, besides these SEC-SEC regionals where both, you know, both schools are in conference together, those always have some fun storylines to follow. But
Ole Miss, Arkansas,
right,
in Fayetteville this weekend, yeah.
But other than that, I mean, if you're looking for 2 brands that extend past their region, then look no further than what we've got at the box this weekend. Looks like the NCAA or whoever's in charge of scheduling is smart. They knew what they were doing, starting the series on Saturday. So, because this is also another one of those series that you hate to see hampered and bogged down by bad weather and rain, where, you know, it's one of those crazy weekends where games are played in spurts and get it in a few innings here and a few innings there. You don't want to see any of that. You want to see some actual college baseball played like it should be. I got a feeling that's what we'll get at the box. Here's my take overall on the game. LSU is the better team. LSU is playing at home. I think that's, you know, those two factors together is what is going to push the Tigers past the Seminoles this weekend and maybe into Monday. Hopefully it doesn't have to go that far, but possibly into Monday. But I just think that I don't want to say that talent is going to reign supreme, because it's not like I'm not trying to sell Florida State short. They're a very good ball club, and they've got probably the best coach of all time.
LSU has more talent.
But LSU is a better ball club all around. So it's one of those games where if LSU shows up, does what they need to do, continues to play like they've been playing through the regional and everything and in SEC tournament, and the pitching continues to shine. I mean, it sounds really simple, but that's what it is.
It sounds really simple, Cody, and here's the other thing, some interesting things. Paul Maneri, in his career, you know, this is a man who coached at other places before coming to LSU, is 5-1 all time versus Mike Martin Sr., the head coach of Florida State, including a 2-1 series victory in the 2002 Super Regional in Tallahassee when Paul Maneri was the head coach at Notre Dame. So Paul knows how to coach against Mike, okay? And that and I know we talk all the time about baseball, and it's about the players, and it's about how they execute. And, look, the skipper can't go out there and, you know, swing at a curveball for the batter, right? Or you know, I get that. But Mineri has an immense amount of respect for Mike Martin, but he also knows how to coach him even before he got to LSU. So that's a great advantage, too, for the Tigers. They're at home. You know the home crowd is going to be immense. Florida State's going to bring some fans now. That's not that far of a commute from Tallahassee to Baton Rouge. And those fans of the Seminoles, we know, tend to get a little they can get a little loud. I would expect a few tomahawk chops in the crowd this weekend.
Nothing to tomahawk chop about when you're down by eight.
Interesting thing, historically speaking, LSU and Florida State have met 18 times since 1955, with each team claiming 9 wins. This weekend's Super Regional marks the 7th meeting between the schools in the NCAA tournament, with each team capturing 3 victories in the prior 6 games. But it is the first ever Super Regional matchup between the last two, between the two programs. And as I said before, the last time these two met, 2017 College World Series, when LSU recorded 2 wins over Florida State by the score of 5-4 and 7-4. So we'll see. You think LSU has the advantage? I feel like LSU has the advantage. The Schutz family is hopeful and believes that LSU has the advantage, because nothing will frustrate you more than buying tickets to a loss. Am I right, Cody? Am I right?
Don't even put that out there. I don't know why you're talking this garbage. Go to break.
Oh, we got to hit a break when we come back here on this special Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame edition of RP3 and Company. We'll talk a little Astros baseball right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from downtown Natchitoches here for the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame weekend. New induction class was presented yesterday at the press conference. Sans Peyton Manning, Mr. New Orleans himself, will be here later today for a press conference with the media. We'll get that to you on Monday's show. Take a moment here before we talk a little Houston Astros baseball. We have to recognize one of the best to ever do it, New Orleans' own Dr. John, as you heard there, passed away last night at the age of 77, his family reported. The Night Tripper, who blended terrific black and white musical styles with his distinctive drawl. He's an icon of New Orleans. He passed away, so our thoughts go out to his family, his close friends, and the city of New Orleans for losing yet another icon. So, Dr. John, one of the best to ever do it. Have such good time. I've been running, trying to keep tongue up in my mind. Houston Astros last night bounced back. They had taken the first 2 games of their series there against the Seattle Mariners before getting clubbed 14-1 in Game 3. So Game 4 was yesterday afternoon. You could hear it live on KVOL, our sister station, The Rewind. And apparently, since it was an afternoon game Central Time, and it wasn't in prime time, apparently the Astros and the Mariners had made the decision, Cody, to say, you know what? Let's go extras here so we can be in prime time. They needed 14 innings to get the job done, but the Astros did end up pulling out the 8-7 win over the Mariners. The Astros now improved to 43-21 overall. They remain the top team in the American League West. 14 innings. Whew, that's a lot. That is a lot. Alex Bregman, who played shortstop and DH in the game, went 3-6. Boy, he just keeps looking more and more like an MVP candidate to me. It just really looks like he's separating himself from the pack. I think you can make a strong argument if he stays healthy and he keeps up this torrid pace, which is phenomenal for the former LSU star, that he could very well claim the American League MVP. and give the Astros yet another regular season MVP winner to join Jose Altuve, who did it just a few seasons ago. Michael Brantley stepped up with a hit as well. He went 1-for-5. Fisher went 2-for-6. Trevor White, we talked about it on yesterday's show with James Yasko, our friend from the Lima Time Time podcast. You know, this is a guy that can pitch and hit. Well, he stepped up playing first base for the Astros yesterday, going 3-for-6. Big game for him. Verlander started the game, went 6 1/3, gave up 3 runs, struck out 7 on 5 hits. Not his best performance by any stretch of the imagination, but it was good enough for them to get the win. But then the bullpen came in. Will Harris, the former LSU star, he pitched 1/3 of an inning, gave up a run. Presley came in, pitched 2/3 of an inning, gave up a run. Osuna came in, pitched 1 2/3, gave up a run. Rondon came in for an inning, gave up a run. Okay. The Astros had to use 7 pitchers. But at the end of the day, despite having more than a few guys in the lineup not get hits and having your bullpen come in and four straight pitchers came in relief of Verlander, and all 4 of those relief pitchers gave up a run. And yet, despite that, your Houston Astros got themselves an 8-7 victory. So, congratulations to the Astros for pulling that off. They'll come back home for a weekend set against the Baltimore Orioles, the dumpster fire of Major League Baseball. So, expect the Astros to continue the hot start to the season this weekend over there in the Big Juice Box. When we come back here on RP3 and Company, my conversation with Peabody iconic coach Charles Smith right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting from Natchitoches. I'm speaking with yet another soon-to-be Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer. He's the longtime head boys basketball coach at Peabody Magnet High School, numerous state championships, and this year, if he gets to 32 wins, he will become the winningest coach in state basketball history. It's the one and only Charles Smith. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor to be here among these great athletes, coaches, and performers.
Did you ever think all those years ago when you were around growing up in the Lena area that you would end up one day being in the Sports Hall of Fame here in Natchitoches?
No. I was worried about where I was going to get my next meal, really. but it was all fun. And I think the experience I had growing up in rural Lena and Taylor Hill community shaped what I am today.
Talk a little bit about something a lot of people may not know about you, is that you were an immensely talented baseball player growing up in high school, college, and everything. You had a chance. You went to camp with the Cincinnati Reds.
Correct. That's correct.
Back then, it was the Big Red Machine days. They didn't, as you joked earlier in the presser, they really didn't have no need for you. but it ended up being a blessing in disguise. You know, was that a hard decision for you to give up your baseball career and come back home, or did you feel something compelling you to do so?
Well, it really wasn't. I had a shot, mm-hmm. You know, and most kids, that's what you want, a shot. And it didn't work out, you know. So my second, preparation was in college was education. So I had an opportunity to come back to Central Louisiana and teach math. I didn't have a coaching job, but I did have a math job, and that was one of the blessings, going to school majoring in mathematics. So I got the math job, and from the math job, I was able to get an assistant basketball coach and job at Peabody High School, and we went on from there to a head coach, and then history after that.
You mentioned in the presser how much, look, yeah, you have to be really dedicated to teaching math. This is not one of those kind of, you know, courses that the kids can take that they can slack off on.
Right.
Especially you're teaching calculus and trig and the whole 9 yards.
Right.
You mentioned in the presser, you know, it's great getting this, but, you know, if you could get into, like, the Teachers Hall of Fame, that would be number one for you. And you said it kind of jokingly, but yeah. Anyone that knows you knows how passionate you are about academics, and your kids are always good in the classroom. Your star players are.
That's correct.
That's what helps them get to the next level.
That's right.
Is that the kind of the thought process for you, is I got to make sure to instill in these young men
got to get it done in the classroom so they can have a chance to get that degree and do something with themselves.
That's correct. Well, when a kid comes to me as a freshman, my first question to them is, do you want to play college basketball? Well, if you want to play college basketball, number one, you have to get a high school diploma. And in order to get a high school diploma, you have to get it done in the classroom. So they understand that. And then from the classroom, if they get it done in the classroom, I mean, basketball is easy because that's what they like to do. So I've kind of bought into that and had them buy into that, and we've been very successful. Most of my championship teams have been honor roll teams. That is, I've had at least a GPA of 3.0.
Right.
And in some cases, my undefeated teams, which were 41-0, I had at least two boys on those teams with 4.0 GPAs. And I helped let them realize that buying into sports is also, you have to buy into an education, and it's paid off for them.
Over the years, one of the things that stood out to me and one of my favorite stories about you is came after a championship game loss. Is that the Cajun Dome?
That's correct.
And I remember coming out, and I thought I was the only one leaving the Cajun Dome there. I was working at the Town Talk in Alexandria. Right. And there you were, outside, talking to your young men, teaching them. You're taking that moment to teach them. And this was hours afterwards.
Right.
Next year, you guys win the state championship.
That's correct.
And I remember talking to you about that. And it's just, you have this immense passion for teaching and coaching, and yet you still do. Why do you think that you still have that fire in your belly to help mold these young men and help make them into young men from boys?
Well, I think I've been blessed with the talent. God has blessed me with the talent, and I've been able to find that talent. And I've been able to share it with the young people that I've dealt with, starting back in 1971 when I started teaching, up until 2019 when I'm still teaching and coaching. And I've been able to tap into a source that all the young people want to be successful. Now, there are a lot of variables in their lives that prevent them from being successful. But I try to tap into that source where they will work hard and believe in themselves. And the first speech I give them is that, hey, look in the mirror. You've got to like what you see in that mirror. And if you like what you see in that mirror and you've got to like it, then you've got to work hard to perfect it.
What are some of your favorite memories as a head coach there at Peabody High School? Knowing you, it's probably not going to be one of those state championship games. It's probably going to be something else along the way. What are some of your favorite memories?
Well, taking at-risk boys, taking them from the very poor communities of Alexandria, and being able to turn them into champions. We've been able to win, average 30 ball game, 30 wins per year over the last 30 years. So that's one of the most, and I'm saying that to say that I've been able to instill in these young men that they can be champions. And I guess the highlight is having two undefeated seasons. It's almost impossible to win 40 games without losing. And we were able to win 41. We went 41-0 twice. And I guess that's the shining moment in my career.
What is this weekend going to be meaning to you? Because I know it's not only for you, for yourself and your family, but all of the former players. I'm willing to bet that they've come out the woodwork and they've just called you or texted you or emailed you or, and done all this other stuff. I'm assuming there will be plenty of them inside
right.
the center,
right.
the
right.
event center on Saturday night.
That's right.
How overwhelming has that been for you, Coach?
Well, it's been outstanding. I've been getting calls, four and five, six calls per night from former players saying that they will be here on Saturday or that their thoughts will be with me, meaning that some of them were late and they sold out. The event is sold out, so they weren't able to get tickets. Some of them jobs and families require them to be in other places. But they wanted to just call me and let me know that their thoughts and their heart goes out to me, and they're very proud of what we've been able to accomplish over the years.
We're talking here with Charles Smith, longtime state championship coach at Peabody Magnet High School. He's being enshrined into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame this weekend here in Natchitoches. Coach, I have to ask you, how much longer you got? Because I know your son, who I know a little
right.
bit,
That's
I've
right.
covered in the past, and he's right. a heck of a coach himself.
Right.
You know, when are you just going to step away and turn it over to him? He's been paying his dues, Coach. He's been paying his dues.
That's
and
correct.
I mean, he's been waiting his time, man. He's,
yeah.
still, he's still waiting. But
yeah.
but all joking aside, how special is that to be able to have that? I know your boy got to play for you, but also to have him coach
That's
beside
correct.
You and have him there. How much has that meant to you with you and your son?
That means a whole lot to me. I tell people all the time, as a teacher and a coach, we're always working with other people's children, trying to help them to reach some level of success. And when you're able to do that with your own children, my daughter, Dr. Kamesha Ross. She went to Peabody High School, and I taught her math. And my son played basketball for me and went on to play at North Carolina Charlotte, and he had a great career there. And now he's back helping me prepare the next generation, so to speak. And he's kind of taken a back seat, but I've turned the whole operation over to him. I mean, he puts the game plans together. He puts the practice plans together. So, and he's bringing new school to old school.
Right.
I'm still doing it the old way, but he's bringing in the new way. That is the different offensive, defensive sets and so forth. So we work well together.
But I know, covering you, that he may have all those responsibilities, but when you take that jacket off during the game, them boys on the court, they're looking at you, Coach.
Well, I get a little heated at times, but it's all to let them know that the hard work that they put in will pay off. And most kids say, well, if I'm losing, it's not paying off. So that's why I work extremely hard and coach extremely hard so that they can be successful, and that's the name of the game, to be successful.
Coach, appreciate you taking the time out. As always, you're always so generous with your time. Congratulations on the great accomplishment, and just keep doing what you're doing there at Peabody High School.
Thank you so much. Enjoy it.
That's Charles Smith, longtime head boys basketball coach at Peabody High School in Alexandria. He will be enshrined. He'll take the stage Saturday night here in Natchitoches as the latest member of the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. You're listening to RP3 and Company. We got to hit a break, but more will come up after this right here on 103.7 The Gun. Welcome back to RP3 and Company here on 103.7 The Game. We're here in Natchitoches for Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame weekend, and it's time for us now to talk to a man who is a big promoter of this hall. He goes crisscrosses across the state and talks about it a lot, including on our airwaves. It's the Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Billy, how have you been?
I'm doing great. What a great crowd here at Natchitoches for the Sports Hall of Fame.
You know, ever since you've taken office, you know, you and I have talked about it in the past, about how important this Hall of Fame is, this museum is, and you've been a big champion of it. Why is that?
Well, I think it's important to highlight the talent, the special people. And as you heard here today, it's not only what they did on the field, in the sports booth, or as a coach, but the influence they had on so many people in Louisiana. I spoke about Les Miles coming down to Plaquemines Parish during the oil spill. Those people still talk about that today. So all of these people inducted were not only great for the sports world, but show the great character of Louisiana reaching out and doing great things for the community.
You know, you've done a lot of traveling, obviously being a lawmaker, a politician. You know, I know you've probably checked out other Hall of Fames, sports Hall of Fames in other states. How does this one compare to what others are?
Well, this is a first-class, world-class building in the oldest town in Louisiana, a great historical town. And I tell you one thing we don't have a problem with is finding the champions to induct here.
No.
You know, just like musicians, just like the Grammys, Louisiana we grow special talent out the ground. In other states, they have nice museums, and they have to look and search for people to put in them. We've got incredible talent throughout Louisiana, and this is no exception.
So is any possibility of maybe your talent in your younger years as an athlete, we can get you in here too there, Billy?
Let me tell you, I was a center, and every time I snapped the ball over the quarterback's head, the punter's head, coach made me run laps. And with these short legs, I knew my time in the sports world was limited.
You know, and I know you said it before, you know, we have such a diverse class here. We're putting in the first professional rodeo cowboy. We're putting in the first volleyball player. Obviously, we're putting in Peyton Manning and Les Miles and some of those bigger marquee names. But how significant is it that there's such diversity when it comes to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame year in, year out?
I'm so proud that this rodeo champion from a little town in Louisiana, a guy that is probably tough as anybody in this building, what he's been through, being run over by a bulldozer, driving himself to his brother's house. But if you've ever been up and close and personal with those bulls, that takes a special person. And I know he won the world champion in Madison Square Garden for Louisiana. He is a special athlete and a special champion, and I'm so proud that we are looking at all aspects of the sports world to induct here in Louisiana.
When you saw the class and it was announced, who were you excited? I mean, who kind of caught your attention? Obviously, you talked about T. Barry Porter and you learned about his story, but who are some of the other ones that are being inducted that really kind of you're like, wow, I'm excited about that?
Well, you know, the Mannings. You know, we're going to have to add a wing here for the Manning family. But the incredible things, you know, I used to kick all this golf tournament. Through all the years of the success, they never forgot where they were from, and they've always given back 110% to the community all over, and they're still kind, nice, Manny, the whole family, just as incredible, proud of that with all the success, because a lot of people, that success, they forget where they came from, and that family is a great example to follow, that the fame and fortune, you don't forget your roots, and you're still good people.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser here on RP3 and Company on 103.7 The Game here in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Billy, if someone's never been to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, they've never experienced it, they've never been able to walk through and see all the terrific exhibits and see the information, the interactive display here on the ground level, what would you tell them? But what would you tell folks about the museum that have never come before?
Well, I've been here 24 times, and every time I walk through, I learn something new about the history of a sport or an athlete from Louisiana. It's incredible. Every kid should come through here. And listen, this town is special. I took my staycation here. My mother-in-law spent 3 hours in that hardware store, went home and told her friends and family from Houston. 20 of her family members have now come to Natchitoches. So you come here, you'll have a great time, meet some great people. You'll tend to your friends and family, and that's what helping drive tourists all over Louisiana does for Louisiana. So it's a must-see in Louisiana.
And we'll wrap it up with this, Billy. I got to ask you two questions. How excited are you about the LSU Tigers? They're coming off that 10-win season, got the big bowl win, got Joe Burrow back. They got a lot of pieces coming back, a lot of excitement being built up for this program. How excited are you about LSU right now?
Well, I drove over to Mississippi last Saturday with my wife, and I placed a small wager on them to win the national championship. So that kind of sums it up. I got a great feeling. The coach is an incredible person, and he can get them fired up. We got some great talent. The Florida game is Election Day. We will be hosting the tailgate that day. As you know, in the end zone, Louisiana Feed Your Soul. So we're looking forward to serving some alligator, Louisiana alligator, to the Gators for our tailgate that day.
And one final question, Billy. What about the Saints? You know, it ended in heartbreak, we know, but they seem it's early through OTAs. We've got mini camp next week. But, man, they seem like they got a chip on their shoulder. They're focused. They got something to prove out there. What do you think about the Saints?
Absolutely. You know, it's incredible what happened last year. They're favored to win or be in that number this year. And you're right. I think they got something to prove. And they don't want it to go down in one play this year. So hopefully they'll come out and steamroll well into the playoffs.
We got great expectations for LSU, great expectations for the Saints, and then we got an election to boot for you, big man. It could be a really good year for Louisiana.
It's a big football day. Vote early this year. Thank you, my friend.
And that was my conversation yesterday with Louisiana's own Lieutenant Governor, Billy Nungesser, who is a big supporter of the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame and tourism throughout the state. It was a jam-packed affair yesterday. All of the members of this year's induction class were on hand except for Peyton Manning. He was arriving today. He'll have his press conference later today around 5:30 down on Front Street at the museum. But everyone else was there. Not at the beginning. Les Miles was stuck in traffic, so he came a little late. But it was tremendous to hear some of the stories that the Hall of Famers were able to share yesterday during their press conference. It was just some, a lot of them are just very, everyone is just so humbled by the whole experience, as you can imagine. But for a lot of them, some of the things that stand out to me is, Matt Dunnigan, former Louisiana Tech great. He's in the Canadian Football League Hall of Fame, 6 Grey Cups to his under his belt, and he's been a broadcaster for the last 20 years in the CFL. And, someone asked him about, being a quarterback, and he said, you know, I always like to throw things. And unfortunately for the Louisiana Tech fans, I was throwing things to the other team a lot, because he did throw a lot of interceptions his time with Louisiana Tech, because he liked to, you know, chuck the ball around the field. But it's that kind of stuff. You know, you could tell that it meant a lot that they were, you know, that they were humbled by the, in, you know, entire experience. You know, Roger Cador, the Southern coach, who we'll have an interview with here coming up later on in the show, you know, he jokingly said when he got to Southern, you know, they could put all of their supplies in a shopping cart. They were actually all in a shopping cart. Or that, you know, his recruiting budget when he got there was a whopping $3,000. And when he retired in 2017, it was $3,000. So there was a lot of jokes, a lot of humor, a lot of heartfelt. Some people held back tears. It was an emotional time for them. And a terrific event kicking off the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame weekend with yesterday's press conference. We'll have another one today, a little meet and greet later today as well. And then, of course, the induction ceremony on Saturday right here in Natchitoches. Well, that's going to do it for the first hour of this special Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame edition of RP3 and Company. When we come back, my rant of the week right here on 103.7 The Game.
Live and local, we are Acadiana's sports station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parch III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Raging Cajun legend Brian Mitchell.
My dream was always to play in the NFL, so having an opportunity was the main thing I needed.
LSU College World Series hero Warren Morris.
I don't get tired of talking about it. You know, if people remember me for that home run and winning that championship, I think that's great.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Let me tell you something. You know what really grinds my gears?
Uh-oh. RP3 is ready to sound off.
Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now!
This is more than a complaint, but less than a tirade. This is Ray's Rant of the Week.
This is for all my people out there that always want to complain when a college athlete decides to leave school before graduating. This is for you. I'm talking to you right now. I don't want to hear y'all's mess anymore. No more. None. Why? Because I am never, ever going to stand in someone's way of making money as a professional. Ever. Ever. I understand we'd love to see our favorite players at our colleges and universities stay a whole 4 years and graduate. And after they graduate, then they're rewarded by going on to playing at the professional level. That'd be great. That'd be great if we lived in this ideal Leave It to Beaver world that you think we live in. But we do not. You know why we don't? Because the professional sports don't give a damn if the kid graduates. They don't care about the education. They don't care about any of that. In fact, they actually hold it against college athletes that graduate, that come back for their senior year in college. Need proof? Let's look at the tape, shall we? Antoine Duplantis this week is one of the best hitters in the SEC. All SEC honors. He's the career hits leader at LSU, one of the most iconic baseball programs of all time. Last year, he was drafted in the 7th round, but decided to come back. Maybe it was for financial reasons. Maybe it was just because, hey, he had a bad taste in his mouth losing in the Corvallis Regional on the road and wanted to come back. So he comes back. he becomes even a better hitter. Still hits for average, still has the speed, still has the good glove in the outfield. He adds even more power this time around, hits multiple home runs. Adds a different dynamic to his overall game, his overall skill set as a player. And he's rewarded for that, for showing loyalty to his collegiate team, showing loyalty to his coaching staff and his teammates, to the community, to the fan base. He becomes a better player. And how does Major League Baseball reward him for that? By not taking him into the 12th round. So you can never sit there and legitimately have beef with a young man who decides to leave early to get his money or her money. Because the odds are stacked against them. Loyalty to your college is actually used against you. We see it all the time in the NBA. The one-and-doneers, or the guys that have been there 2 years, always get drafted above the other guys that stay there, the loyal guys, the team-first guys. Zion Williamson's a freshman. He's coming to the New Orleans Pelicans. Anthony Davis was a freshman, played 1 year. The guys that stay there, that put the team first, that bleed the colors of that university, that stay there to graduate, you know how they're rewarded? By not being drafted or being drafted extremely low and being paid nothing. That's how this works. This is why you can't be all that upset when Ben Simmons decides to bolt after a cup of coffee in Baton Rouge. Now, you can be upset by him because he led to the blowing up of that program. But his decision to leave and go get that money, you can't be mad at. I said it here on the air. When people were upset with Greedy Williams last fall, when Greedy Williams made the decision to not take part in the bowl game because he was going to be focused on the draft. Okay. People are like, well, he's letting down his teammates, you know, his fellow brothers. His teammates didn't care. Devin White even came out and supported Greedy Williams. Greedy Williams had a young child. Greedy Williams didn't want to have a situation where he went into a bowl game, a meaningless game. It was not part of the college football playoff. It wasn't a national championship. And decided to, I'm going to ensure that I can do what I can do to get drafted. And he ends up going in the second round. And people are like, well, look at that. That's what happens when you skip on the bowl game. But that's not necessarily true because Leonard Fournette skipped out on the bowl game and he was a top 10 pick. Christian McCaffrey skipped out on his bowl game. He ended up being a top 10 pick. I can give you dozens of guys that have done that in college football in the last 3 to 4 years because it benefits them. It benefits them to leave early and not stick around for their senior season and not stick around to graduate because NFL teams are going to pay guys more money that leave early than they are guys who stay and graduate from school. You see it in the NFL. You have been seeing it for a generation in the association, in the NBA, and we see it in baseball over and over again. If Antoine Duplantis would have left last year, he'd be a seventh-round draft pick. Hell, if he would have announced that he was definitely leaving and not coming back, I guarantee you that he would have been drafted higher than the seventh round last year. Instead, he's on the fence about being drafted. They take him in the seventh round. He decides to come back to school. And to reward him for his loyalty to LSU, Major League Baseball team said, we're going to wait and we're going to let you fall because we don't have to draft you high because this is how the system is set up. And we can let you fall all the way to the 12th round and pay you 12th round money. And even though you may make it to the big leagues, we don't have to pay you that way. Great. Glad you went back to LSU. Now, for the Duplantis family and anyone that's ever interviewed them or dealt with them, they put a premium on education. Mondo Duplantis, the world record-setting pole vaulter who didn't need to go to LSU this year, went to LSU because it's important for that family to go to LSU. The mom and dad went to LSU. They fell in love there. All their kids are going to LSU, okay? So it means something to them. That's their family. But I don't want to ever hear anyone complain when a young man or woman decides to leave school early because the way it is set up currently with these professional leagues, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball. They're letting you know, and they're letting the kids know, we do not care about your education. We do not care about you earning a degree, and we sure as hell don't care about your loyalty to a program, because you can also look at the NBA. You can also look at the NFL. You can also look at Major League Baseball and see these guys that transfer in and out and go to junior colleges and then end up somewhere else and play for three teams in a four-year period. They don't care. You are an asset to them. It's numbers. It's financial terms. That's how the professional leagues look at the athletes. So you can't be mad and upset when the athletes are smart enough to look at it as a business move as well and view themselves as a asset in financial terms. And they play their chips that way. You can't be mad at them. I don't want to hear, this isn't 30 years ago. Things have changed. Those professional leagues don't give a damn about your loyalty to your program. A coach may. A coach on the staff might like that during the interview process. They may, oh, I appreciate your loyalty. Oh, I like that. You're going to be dedicated to the team. But the ownership, the general manager, the front office personnel, they do not care. So if they don't care, and they're going to do everything in their power as a multi-million dollar or billion dollar industry to ensure that they get you at the cheapest rate possible as a asset, then why in the hell are you allowing them to do that? Take control of your own situation. Take control of your money and do what's best for you financially. Because guess what? These kids that aren't sticking around to graduate, they're still being drafted. And they're still being drafted high. And they're still being re-signed. And they're still getting multi-million dollar contracts. That tells you everything that you need to know. So, don't be mad when these young men make decisions that's in the best interest of them. Period. I don't want to hear the nonsense anymore. That's going to do it for my rant of the week. Cody Schuetz is going to help calm me down, as he always does, in the second hour on Fridays, because he's going to be delivering the goods with some RPOs with RP3. Next, right here on RP3 and Company on 103.7 The Game.
Blue poncho!
Shotgun formation. Cody snaps the questions.
Dre!
And RP3 makes the reads. This is RPOs with RP3.
Blue poncho!
Welcome back to RP3 and Company on 103.7 The Game. I am currently chilling live in the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Of course, my main man, Raymundo, is over in Natchitoches for the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, doing his thing, bringing us the best interviews possible on a Hall of Fame / Super Regional / all kinds of stuff happening this weekend, which is why, Raymond, we need to dive in to RPOs right now. On RPOs, it's pretty self-explanatory. I'm going to set you up a little topic here, and then you need to make the read. RPO, are you running with it? Are you going to pass on that? Or maybe take a little option to wait and see. So let's start with the first thing I've jotted down here. We're going to start hot. It's prediction time, Raymond. Tigers, Seminoles, Super Regional, best of three at the box starting tomorrow. It's pretty simple here, Raymond. RPO on LSU winning and not needing Monday to do it.
Oh, I'm passing there. Okay. They will win, okay. Cody Schuetz.
Okay.
But they're going to need the Monday game. This is how I'm going to play it out. Okay. I think they win game one Saturday. I think it's been announced Cole Henry is going to be pitching. Is that correct? Or is it Marceau?
I will double check for you, brother.
Yes. There's some discussion about that. So I think they're going to win the first game on Saturday. I think they will drop the second game. Something will happen with the back end of the bullpen. One of those guys will give up a home run or walk a batter or hit a batter because that's what they've been doing. And they'll lose a close game there. But then they'll bounce back. It'll be Monday night inside Alex Box Stadium. It will be electric. A berth to Omaha will be on the line. And the Tigers will win the Super Regional Series on Monday night there at Alex Box Stadium, taking 2-1 and punching their ticket to Omaha. That's how I see it happening.
Okay. I don't know. I I agree with you. I'm not going to sit here and say that LSU is for sure going to lock it up in two games, but I just have a good feeling about it. I don't want to jinx anything, but I'm looking at it this way. LSU is coming at you regardless of the order. They're hitting you with that Landon Marceau, Cole Henry 1-2 punch on Saturday and Sunday, regardless of what order they come in. I guess what I'm trying to say more is if it goes to that if necessary game on Monday, I'm going to be incredibly nervous just because it's that third pitcher for LSU and you never really know.
Walker
what guy's
looked good
get.
Though.
He did. That's why I'm not like just sitting here downing it saying, okay, yeah, they got no chance if they take it to that third game. I'm not saying that, but it's gonna be a tough one for LSU if they're forced to play that third game, which is why I'd love to see LSU go out there and dominate this first game, set the tone. And then maybe
it would be far more relaxing when we do our show on Monday.
Yes,
because if they have to do that third game, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you this right now, Cody Schuch will be a bit of a wreck
Monday morning.
So actually, you know, even though I think they're going to need three games to do it, I'm hopeful. I'm praying to little baby Jesus in the tuxedo T-shirt in the sky that. That the LSU will get it done in two games. That way Cody is not fidgety on Monday morning.
Right. I mean, and don't get me wrong, Mike Martin, all due respect to you, sir, winningest college baseball coach of all time. And I would love to be able to watch your final game. So that would be fun for me as well. Something I can always say, like tell my grandkids 50 years from now, like, you don't know this name, son, but Mike Martin, winningest coach of all time, at least at the time. And I got to watch his final game at the box. So hopefully all that works out for me. But there's nothing you nor I can do about it. It is all in the hands of Paul Maneri and those LSU Tigers. We'll see. I'm confident. I've got them winning in two games. You want them to win in two games, but more than likely you've got them winning on Monday in that rubber game. I like it, Raymond. I like it.
Thank
Something
you.
Else.
Thank you. Thank you.
I wasn't looking for a thank you, but that's fine. You're welcome. Oh, when you're not here, I feel like I can rib you. Okay, let's move on. We've got more to talk about here, Raymond. I bet something you didn't even know. Well, you probably did know, but it definitely is flying under the radar, and I am talking about some World Cup soccer. The Women's World Cup gets started today. I didn't realize that it starts today, but France is the host country, and it's going to get cranked up. They're going to take on South Korea in the opening game today, and then really things will get underway tomorrow with Germany and China, Spain, South Africa, Norway, and Nigeria all going at it. But my point is, World Cup soccer is back. I'm feeling the hype for sure because especially USA, we can actually win this one. It's the Women's World Cup. We've got a shot. We're actually probably favored in the whole thing, so I'm excited for it. And since we're talking about the Stars and Stripes right now, let me fill you in. They are in Group F this year. It's the final group of the whole Women's World Cup. They are in there with Sweden, Chile, and Thailand. So it's USA, Sweden, Chile, and Thailand. Their first game, though, however, because they're in the final group, it won't be until Tuesday. So we've got a whole weekend and a day. The Super Regional will be over and done with before we see the United States women's national team take the field in the World Cup. RPO for you, though, that's kind of got nothing to do with the United States soccer team. I want to know if you are going to be watching any World Cup action this weekend that doesn't involve the USA.
So you're asking me the run pass option.
It's okay if you don't like soccer. It's okay.
No, well, I will. The likelihood of me watching the Women's World Cup is very. I will watch the Team USA.
Fair, exactly. Yeah, that's what I, exactly.
So if this question was, will you watch Tuesday the opening match versus
right? But
Thailand?
I already knew the answer to that question. I wanted to ask you a question I didn't know the answer to, which is why I went with this.
Yeah, that's a pass. That's a pass. I know very little. I follow soccer very little to begin with. Women's soccer even less. I know who Alex Morgan is.
There you go.
And others. I used to know who Hope Solo was. So I know a little bit, and I have watched the women play in the World Cup, and they're a terrific team. Just soccer just isn't really my bag, so to speak. But I do watch the World Cup. But I will watch Team USA.
Like the Austin Powers reference there. Not bad. I'm obviously going to be watching Team USA, but you better believe because the times are actually relatively helpful. Usually these World Cup things are like, you know, wherever it's being held, it's almost impossible to watch. You've got to get up at 4 a.m. to watch a game or something. That's not the case with the games being in France. Like today, the kickoff of the Women's World Cup is in is at 2 p.m. So, France, you can watch France versus South Korea at 2 p.m. on a Friday. You can't beat that. And games tomorrow start at 8 a.m. and then go at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. So I'm excited for it. It's going
to
be on TV.
So what you're saying, Cody, to me is this. This is what I'm hearing through my headset is that, you know, they have their act together. Unlike the Men's World Cup, isn't the next Men's World Cup being held in a desert
in the middle of the summer? I don't want to talk too much about it, but I'm pretty sure. And not like for real, though, I'm pretty sure it's one of those situations where people are dying building those stadiums for the men's. And
yes.
I'm not comfortable with that. That makes,
It's like a James Bond movie.
Right. Villain. Like someone needs to stop this Sepp Blatter guy, but I think he's not even in charge anymore. So I don't know. It's, it's a mess is what I'm trying to say. So it's a pass for you. It's a run for me in conclusion there. I got another one for you. Let's talk some UL baseball. MLB draft is still hot in our minds here. Gunnar Leje. Womp womp. Unfortunately, not selected in the Major League Baseball draft. But is that really it for Gunnar? RPO on the one, Mr. Leje, finding a way into pro baseball. RPO, Gunnar Leje will find a way into pro baseball, maybe internationally.
I say option, and why I say option here, Cody, is if he wants it. Look, we don't know how difficult that was for Gunnar to go where he went through, where he was a multiple All-American honoree for the Raging Cajuns. This guy was the Sun Belt Conference Pitcher of the Year. He earned All-American honors multiple seasons and had an injury, and then they discovered another injury, that bone cyst issue that he had. So he had to have two separate surgeries, missed all of last year, and then this year he just wasn't – he never returned to the form that he showed before he got injured. I mean, his ERA wasn't too bad, 2.30. He was 1-3, though, on the mound, only appeared in 13 games, only four starts. He had four saves. He ended up going to the bullpen towards the back end of the season, you know, pitching 31 innings. He did have some power, still 36 strikeouts. I think there's enough there if he wants to pursue a career in minor league baseball. He's going to have to get an invite. He's going to have to play in some of those low-level type of organizations, leagues, not necessarily single A, but below that, and maybe show a team that he still has something there and probably have to go to tryout. So it's going to be the long road, so to speak, for Gunnar Leje.
Right.
It's going to take a couple of years of commitment to do that. But I don't know. I don't know if Gunnar has moved on. You know what I'm saying? Like mentally, he may have said, okay, I'm not going to be the baseball player that I wanted to be, that I thought it was going to be. So I'm going to move on. I got my degree. I'm going to go into, you know, working and go down a different career path. So it all depends on what Gunnar wants. And, you know.
So the option is the perfect answer for that, because it really is a wait and see, because it's all on Gunnar at this point.
Correct.
Fair enough. I want to squeeze one more in for you real quick. Whether you realize it or not, Super Showdown, WWE's show that is equivalent to and or greater than WrestleMania, is taking place today from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Don't let them fool you. Jeddah is in Saudi Arabia. WWE is there. They don't want you to know that propaganda, but they are there. I only want to ask you about one thing. The show starts in 5 hours and 32 minutes. The one thing I want to know
Did you just say a show? Time out. Did you just say a show on a Friday in Saudi Arabia is the equivalent of WrestleMania? That was
I didn't say that. They said that. I swear to God, it is on there. It's there. A show that will be better than or equivalent to WrestleMania. Look, WWE returns to Jeddah with Super Showdown, an event equal to WrestleMania. I'm on the new WWE.com right now. It's ridiculous.
That's a pass.
Well, that's not even the question. The question is,
okay,
who's going to win the main event? RPO on The Undertaker beating Goldberg in the main event. It's not a joke.
It's as if it was 15 years
it's
ago.
It's 2001 all over again, Raymond.
2001. I don't know. Who's going to play bigger there for the home crowd? I guess The Undertaker is
you're thinking too hard.
Name.
Think of it in this. It's WWE versus WCW. Taker's going over.
Oh, yeah, Taker.
Duh. You think about it in that sense, Taker's going over.
It's the least they could do for having his WrestleMania streak end against freaking Brock Lesnar. I still can't get over that. Oh, when we come back here on RP3 and Company, we'll talk to Barry Hurstis. Right on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company. Right here on 103.7 The Game, broadcasting live. I am from lovely downtown Natchitoches, home of the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame Museum. It's the Hall of Fame weekend. Presser was yesterday. We'll have a Peyton Manning press conference today, and then, of course, the induction ceremony at the Event Center Saturday night here in Natchitoches. Cody Schutz is back in to 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. But now it's time for us to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and welcome on our good friend. You know his work from the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine. He joins us every Friday. It's our boy, Barry Hurstis. Barry, how you doing this morning, brother?
I'm doing fine, my friend. How about yourself? Sounds like you're having a little fun there at the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame.
Just a little bit. It just I had a little bit of fun there at the cocktail party last night, my friend. A little sad news, though, coming out of New Orleans, the passing of a musical legend in Dr. John Barry.
Yeah.
You know, he passed away. Do you have a favorite memory or a favorite song or anything affiliated with one of New Orleans' own icons?
Definitely Right Place, Wrong Time. I mean, if there's not a more classic song that you would attach to the legend that was Dr. John, it would have to be that song. And that's the main source of memories that I've drawn from it. Look, it's been a devastating time down here. As you know, they lost a great Creole chef, Leah Chase, the week before. And then the week before that, a gentleman by the name of Ronnie Vergitz, who's a narrator and a popular local figure down here in New Orleans. So it's been a tough couple weeks for a lot of the legendary figures. A lot of the icons that I grew up with are all passing away, you know, and it's inevitable, you know. We all get older in life, and, you know, it's time for those type of things to happen. But it's never easy, you know. It's never easy, especially when you're talking about people who are literally legends to this community and to this area. So sad to see him go.
Sad to see him go, but we still have all the music to celebrate his tremendous life with.
And look, and the Dookie Chase restaurant, that whole family, you know, there's generations of chefs that she inspired and taught. So, I mean, her recipes and her flamboyant style, all those things through all those people will live on thanks to YouTube, thanks to, you know, generations that come behind family members, whatever. So the legacies are well protected, and they will endure forever. There's no question about it.
Speaking of legacy, Barry, and we're talking to Barry Hurstis of the Big Easy Magazine and Saints News Network here in the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Earlier this week, the Saints unveiled the two new members, former star players for the Saints Hall of Fame, as well as the winner of the Florida Lee Award, Marcus Colston, Reggie Bush. The last pick and the first pick in that historic 2006 draft will be inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame later this year. Joining them with the Florida Lee Award is former Governor Kathleen Blanco. Your thoughts on those three huge names, two great players for the franchise that helped them win a Super Bowl, and a governor who helped bring the Saints back to the Superdome and help renovations at the Superdome. Your thoughts on the Saints Hall of Fame class?
Yeah, all quite deserving. I believe former Governor Blanco doesn't get enough credit. You know, when the whole situation went down with Katrina and you know, the logistics of that 2005 season, and then of course you know there's some Saints fans that still hold a grudge against Tom Benson because they still think he, you know, plotted to move the team to San Antonio. Look, I was in Katrina. I lost everything I had, brother. You know, I was there. I was in it. I lived it. Believe me when I tell you, he had every right to consider weighing all his options. You know, would it have been a bad thing for the Saints to move to San Antonio? Sure, it would have been. But you know, and look, Governor Blanco, she was instrumental in making sure that he didn't. She was one of the voices that talked him off the ledge, so to speak. You know, look, you know, it's neither here nor there. The bottom line is the man made the commitment to remain in New Orleans. And we're aware of the legacy that occurred basically based on that decision that he made in the end. And what, 3-4 years later, they won the Super Bowl. So, you know, it all worked out. It's neither here nor there whether we rehash what happened, you know. The bottom line is the franchise remained in New Orleans. They became one of the better franchises in the NFL because of it, indirectly because of the events that occurred afterwards. And Governor Blanco, certainly she deserves a hand in that. Look, Reggie Bush will always be linked because he was that, you know, the Texans, I'm sure to this day, still kick themselves for taking Mario Edwards. Now, that said, you know, I wouldn't say that drafting Reggie Bush gave the Saints the Super Bowl title. That would be a stretch. But certainly Reggie, you know, was a key contributor, and there's no question because of the situation, how things went, and New Orleans needing to pick me up and a boost at that time. Again, we were left for dead. You know, like I said, I was in Katrina. I was there. I lived it. We were left for dead. The entire community, the city, and, you know, and Reggie Bush, God bless him, right place at the right time, I guess, to bar from Dr. John there. And, then what can I say about Marcus Colston, man? The greatest wide receiver ever in the history of the New Orleans Saints franchise. And I can sit here and list all the good ones from A to Z, but there'll never be another Marcus Colston. What he contributed to the franchise was invaluable. It was immeasurable. And it's certainly, of all the people that we were talking about, I think Colston probably made the biggest impact directly as far as wins and losses and helping them get that one and only Super Bowl.
We're talking with Barry Herstis here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Barry, real quick before we let you go, final week of OTAs is wrapping up. What have been your takeaways from what you've seen out there at the training complex this week?
That was the last OTA session. As you know, we'll be covering the veteran minicamp this coming Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. All three practices, weather permitting, are open to the general public. So if you're a Saints fan living up there in Cajun country in Lafayette and the surrounding area, if you plan on making the drive, you'll just have to see which three of those days are available. But you can attend the practices. As far as what stood out to me overall, because, you know, we've been speaking every Friday about it, just the attitude and the approach of the team. I'm surprised to see a team at the end of May or first week of June now to look as prepared as they do. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like the 2018 season never ended. You know, it's almost like they're frozen. The state of the franchise is almost frozen in time, you know, after the way the Rams came in. They have a chip on their shoulder, brother. You can see it. The intensity level at practice. I mean, these guys ain't just going through the motions. These guys are getting after it. And to me, that means that they're focused. They're more than prepared. I mean, even though it's the first week of June, to me, it might as well be the first week of September. That's how focused and how zeroed in I think this football team is, how dialed in, whatever terminology you want to put with it. They are focused and they're ready. As far as impressions of the final practice, as fans are aware, I'm sure, you know, Drew Brees had a court appearance in San Diego for this last OTA session. So Teddy Bridgewater was the number one guy. He ran the first team offense. I know I made a reference to Warren Moon in there. that might have been a little too favorable of a comparison. Now looking back in hindsight, I'll just tell you this much about Teddy Bridgewater, because you know there's been this big discussion. You know, is he going to be the heir apparent? Is he the guy that's going to eventually replace Drew Brees, or is Teddy just kind of like the placeholder, so to speak? And they still haven't really settled on who the heir apparent is yet. There's a lot of people that speculate the Saints might still be going to draft a quarterback. You know, you get Tua kid coming out of Alabama. You'll have the kid coming out of Clemson, another year or two. So there's a lot of speculation that maybe Bridgewater isn't the guy. All I'm going to tell you is, based on what I saw, Teddy Bridgewater can be a starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Will he be as good as Drew Brees? Come on, we all know he won't ever reach that level of accomplishment. He'll be hard-pressed to do so. I'm not going to bet against the kid and say he can't. He's only 26 years old. So, I mean, the final chapter on the Teddy Bridgewater story hasn't even been written yet. But
Barry, appreciate it, brother. We got to hit a break, man. We got to hit a break.
Saints fans are so quick to write this guy off. Let's see what he can do first. Before you write a guy off, watch him play. And then let the play on the field make that determination, not some secondhand opinion that you got from somebody that has no idea what they're talking about. So, and that's all.
Thanks, Barry.
About that.
Appreciate you, Barry. That's Barry Hurstis from the Saints News Network joining us here on RP3 and Company. When we come back, my conversation with Southern baseball coach Roger Cador. He's entering the hall this weekend right here on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. We're here in Natchitoches for the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame weekend, and it's my privilege now to welcome onto the program a man who's going to be enshrined this Saturday here in Natchitoches in the Hall of Fame, the iconic baseball coach of the Southern Jaguars, the one and only Roger Cador. Coach, how's it feel to be here in Natchitoches for Hall of Fame weekend?
Well, it feels good right now. It's a lot of action going on. It's a beautiful building, so many memories. And, I tell people there's only a few of us are going to ever be in this situation. I mean, all the people who play sport or coaching, only a handful is going to be here.
Coach, when you found out the vote had gone in and that you were going to be, in fact, enshrined into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, what kind of just went through your mind when you found out that news last fall?
Well, the thing I thought about was that the woman I married on June 8, 1980 won't be here with me because she's not with us anymore. And all, you know, when you're a coach, you need the wife takes so much. They endure so much and give up so much. And all of those things that, I'm about to celebrate, she won't be here to celebrate them with me.
Do you feel, though, that she's looking down on you, smiling?
Well, you know, I know that she would be happy.
Right.
And because she knew that I work hard and went through a lot of difficult moments with not having the necessities at Southern and working through them and making things work.
Let's talk about your time at Southern, Coach. The program had already been established for a little while, but not a lot of success. You get there, and you bring an enormous amount of success to a program that hadn't had any. Tell me a little bit about those early years, laying the foundation, building the program for what it would become, and how much work did that take?
Well, I came out of basketball where I was the recruiting coordinator, and it made it easy because I knew how to recruit. And I was an aggressive type of person when I wanted, and I could identify talent. And even though I didn't have a recruiting budget, I made it work. I used that telephone, I used contact, and we were able to get a lot of good players. And the thing is, the players and their parents believe in what I was selling. I was selling them on Southern and the possibilities because they couldn't see anything. So I was selling them on the possibilities.
Right.
And they bought it, and they trusted. And those first players I recruited helped build a foundation that springboarded the program into a great height. But that 1985 class that I recruited, I told those young men that they were going to be a part of history. What kind of history? I didn't know, but I told them they would be a part of history. And in 1987, they go out and beat Cal State Fullerton, yeah, which was the history I was talking about. So it made it easy once we did that.
Talk a little bit more about that. After you get that historic win against Cal State Fullerton, a perennial national powerhouse program, national champion like that, what did that do for your program moving forward? Did it make it easier to recruit? Did it make it more difficult to schedule non-conference opponents? So what were some of the challenges and some of the assets that came along with that win?
Well, recruiting became easier. The scheduling wasn't any difficult. There were so many good college teams in that perimeter, in that area. Nicholls State, University of New Orleans, Tulane, LSU, UL, McNeese. We all played each other because of the geographic location. And and everybody had good players,
right,
and good teams. So, but, you know, it really, we got better and kept getting good players. And finally, I convinced the university to let me build a facility. Southern is the only school in the state of Louisiana never got any funding from the state to build a baseball field. We are the only school that didn't get any kind of funding. So we were able to do it with private money, and we got a nice facility now in a beautiful clubhouse.
What are some of the highlights that spring to mind? I know you probably have thought a lot about that in between the time that you found out that you were going to go into the Hall of Fame and now this weekend as it's here. What are some of the big highlights and some of your favorite memories of your time at the helm of the Southern baseball program, Coach?
Well, you know, obviously coaching Ricky Weeks with the Golden Spikes is huge. Beating Cal State Fullerton is huge. Beating LSU for the first time when they were ranked number one, coming off and beating Arizona State, and we beat them, knocked them off. That was a huge victory. But the biggest victory for my players and for society was 2003 in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, in the racist field atmosphere, where the NCAA had someone to be our, I don't want to say chauffeur, but the overlooked of,
kind of supervisor.
Yeah, and the guy said some of the most ugly things to, after when the game started, he used the N-word so many times, and I looked and could have died when I saw who he was. And I've called my players together and said, guys, don't worry about the guy. Let's prove to him on the field. And we beat the number six ranked Southern Miss team, and that was a big win for me.
Coach, we'll wrap it up with this. What do you think about the man that's replaced you, Kerrick Jackson? They had a great success this year, won the SWAC tournament, got to a regional, played hard. How much pride do you take in seeing that the program is still succeeding after now that you're no longer the coach?
Well, I'm happy for him because many of the players we recruited, and Kerrick did a wonderful job after a tough year last year. He flipped it over, turned it around, did well. They played really good against high-ranked opponents, and I think he's taking it in the right direction.
Coach, appreciate it. Congratulations on the great honor. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you so much.
That was my conversation yesterday with iconic Southern University baseball coach Roger Cador. And look, he took over a program, and he said it earlier in the press conference where he got there and all their equipment was in a shopping basket. That was it. He was friends. He knew Dusty Baker. Baseball folks know who Dusty Baker is. He played with Dusty, and he made a phone call to Dusty Baker, and Dusty said, hey, we'll be in Atlanta. Won't you drive over? And Roger made the remarks that they got so much equipment donated to them when they made that trip to Atlanta that they had to get a U-Haul truck to come back. And that's how he got equipment in those early years there at Southern University. So, tremendous coach. I'm telling you, listen to his press conference, Cody. I told someone afterwards, I was like, I'm ready to suit up and go play baseball for him right now. Like, I was ready to go at 40 years old. I was ready to go and go play for Roger Cador. So, great honor for him. It was terrific having a conversation with him yesterday here in Natchitoches. That's going to do it here for the second hour. But coming up, we got a jam-packed third hour for you. We got a conversation with LSU All-American Max Fugler. That's coming up later in the third hour. But we're going to lead things off catching up with our boy Marlon Favorite, Big Fave, member of the BCS National Championship team. He's going to give us his thoughts and his favorite memories of Les Miles, who's being enshrined here on Saturday in Natchitoches. You're listening to 103.7 The Game.
Live and local, we are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parch III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Raging Cajun legend Brian Mitchell.
My dream was always to play in the NFL, so having an opportunity was the main thing I needed.
LSU College World Series hero Warren Morris.
I don't get tired of talking about it. You know, if people remember me for that home run and winning that championship, I think that's great.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company here on 103.7 The Game. It's time now for us to head out to the ARTCO Equipment Hotline as we welcome on our next guest. He is an SEC champion and a BCS national champion for the LSU Tigers. He also won a Super Bowl championship as a member of the New Orleans Saints. He's also part of the LSU pregame show for the football season. And he's also got big things going on right now. It's our good friend, Marlon Favorite. Marlon, how you doing this morning, brother?
Man, pretty good, RP, man. Just picked up my son, Kentrell. I got a little Marlon in here, Trey. They just had their morning workouts at De La Salle, man. So we just getting ready to hunker down for this weather, man. But just enjoying it, brother. Hello, somebody.
Marlon, I appreciate you making some time for us, as always, my friend. Look. There's a guy that's kind of near and dear to you, a gentleman that you know very well and you have a lot of respect for, and that is Les Miles, your former head coach there at LSU. He's being inducted this Saturday into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Your thoughts on when you heard that your former coach is going to be enshrined into the Sports Hall of Fame?
Well, the first thought that popped up in my mind was well-deserved. Just looking back at Les Miles' journey at LSU, how he got there, and his whole story, his background, was just amazing last night. They did a whole deal. Of course, Miss Miles, she coached basketball at Michigan. He coached at Michigan. You know, they grew up, you know, came up there, his professional journey. So, you know, my thoughts were, man, well-deserved for sure. And the biggest thing that really stuck out last night was when he first got to LSU and what he had to deal with in terms of Katrina. Any first-year coach at a new place, that would have been a challenge. So for him to some type of way figure out how to get us going and keep us motivated during that time frame, and we still go to an SEC championship, played a really nice bowl game, says a lot about him as a coach and the team he had at that time.
We're talking with former LSU Tiger great Marlon Favorite here on the ARTCO Equipment Hotline. Marlon, take me back. I know you arrived at LSU for the 2004 season. You were redshirted. So you got to experience Nick Saban and that staff there. But the coach that you actually played for the majority of your time as a member of LSU was Les Miles. How much of a difference was practice, was preparation, was just the mood around the program when Les Miles came in and took over for Coach Nick Saban?
Well, practice, it's funny you mentioned practice. Practice was actually a little longer under Coach Miles. Coming from Oklahoma State, that's how he did his deal. So it was much longer. When Coach Saban was there, practice used to be hit and go, and, you know, fast pace and out of there. So I think from a practice standpoint, that was the biggest difference. Now, the guys on and off the field are much different, and Coach Miles and then Coach Saban. Coach Miles is more charismatic in regards to personality, combo, really nice guy, bubbly, just a great person, you know, and an excellent coach. Coach Saban, you know, he's more business, straightforward. You know, he shoots from the hip, which I have respect for that as well. So, I mean, you have two good coaches. A brother like myself couldn't be more thankful to be able to get all the insight and wisdom from these two coaches, great and their right. Of course, Coach Miles, his deal was much different. Coming to LSU, he had a developed team, guys like Kyle Williams, Jamarcus Russell, LaRon Landry. I mean, the list goes on of, LSU Tigers that was on that team that pretty much, made it more warming for Coach Miles to adjust to coaching here in Louisiana. So, I mean, both of these guys are amazing, him and Coach Saban, and it's well-deserved, again, for Coach Miles to be inducted, just having a baby recently, inducted into the Hall of Fame. No induction, no inducement.
We're talking with Marlon Fayright, former LSU Tiger great, here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Marlon, Les is known. He's kind of a character. He had that great Dr. Pepper commercial where he played the villain in that little mini movie that they did during the national championship. And he's sitting there talking with Rick Ross and bringing him in for the Kansas spring game now. And, at his time at LSU, he had the famous Columbus Day speech or eating grass or embracing the role of the Mad Hatter. Was he that much of a character behind the scenes with you guys as he was sometimes with us in the media?
Oh, yes, indeed, man. And I think that's why our relationship was so good. Man, Coach Miles, he really embraced my love for music. He did, man. He was huge on that. For me personally, while I was at LSU earning my starting job, I was actually recording my first full-length album, and he was really into that. Like, he was crazy about Black Venom with Chad and with Che and Fat. He loved that. I was always asked to perform at our different banquets and stuff like that. He told Snoop Dogg, Big Fave is his favorite rapper. Stuff like that goes a long way when you think about Coach Miles. I'm like, no lie, man. This is he's really that guy. Coach Saban is loosening up a little more now. Obviously with information technology, the recruits that he's coming in, they swagged out. Everything lit to them. So Coach Saban's better with that now, but back when we were playing, I mean, Coach Saban wasn't into all that extra, entertainment, music, stuff like that. But Coach Miles, he was, man. And for me, it made me feel comfortable to go to work every day at LSU, knowing that he embraced my passion and my love for music as well. And it helped the team in that aspect, to a certain extent. We had fun. We were freestyling locker room. Coach Miles would come and dance. All that stuff, over time, it goes far, man. So we're super excited. We were super excited to have him as a coach, and all.
We're on with Marlon Fayright, LSU Tiger great, here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Marlon, if you had to pick out one memory, it could be a game or during a practice, or it could even be during the off season. What's your favorite memory of Coach Miles?
My favorite memory of Coach Miles, we were actually in New Orleans on a Natchez steamboat. 2 days before the game we played against Notre Dame, and he started, I performed This Is the Way We Ball, me and Ali Broussard. And out of nowhere, Coach Miles jumps in the stage and starts dancing to the music with us. And the staff loved it. The family that was on the boat, they loved it. I mean, and the fact that he knew some of the words, I'm like, wow, this is insane. Like, you can't, he kind of gave you that Dabo Sweeney type feel. He's that type of coach, that type of person, man. So, I'll never forget, we were getting ready to play in the Sugar Bowl against Notre Dame. Then me and Allie had to perform on the DJ wanted us to do a performance. And, man, he started dancing, and before you know it, man, we all had fun, and we won that game. So, you want to lighten up the load on the guys and, make folks feel comfortable, and he did that so well.
We're talking with Marlon Fayright, LSU Tiger great, here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Marlon, before I let you go, and I appreciate you sharing your memories of Les Miles with us, but before you go, I know you got some big things going on that maybe our listeners aren't aware of, getting some spotlight put on you, and all that hard work you're putting into your media games, pay it off. Why don't you let the folks and listeners know what that is, my friend?
Well, man, I definitely had an opportunity recently here, and much more opportunities to work with the NFL Network. And man, it's surreal to me, as you mentioned, just starting off with CXT for 3 years, during the games of the week. It's just working with LSU Sports Network, still in that contract. And now this opportunity with the NFL Network is just amazing, man. So for what we do, RP, it is a grind. It's research, managing time, coming up with content, doing interviews. It's a lot of work and transitioning into this to be able to do something I love, entertain and talk sports. Football in particular has been a blessing, man. So I'm just super optimistic about the future, and I'm super excited about the new gig, and we're going to keep on chopping wood, baby.
Well, Marlon, man, congrats on the new gig, brother. I hope it leads to something else, and appreciate you making time for us, as always. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Talk to you soon, RP. Thanks for having me, brother.
That's Marlon Favorite, LSU Tiger, great Super Bowl champion with the New Orleans Saints, joining us there on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. We got to hit a break, but more RP3 and Company coming up after this right here on 103.7 The Game.
In Louisiana, there are thousands of miles of utility lines and gas pipelines buried just beneath the surface. Sometimes multiple lines are in one area. So if you or a contractor that you've hired is digging a hole to put in a new fence or pool, or for another reason, you run the risk of hitting an underground line even by digging only a few inches. What happens then? Maybe you only knock the power out for your entire neighborhood. But sometimes there's an explosion with injuries and even death. It happens every year, and there's a very simple way to avoid it. Before you dig, call 811. Call 811 2 days before you dig. Tell the operator your address, and someone will come out and mark the location of buried lines so you or your contractor can avoid them. Simple, right? It's free of charge, and it's the law. Louisiana One Call operates 811 as a public service, and to promote public safety, Louisiana One Call and 103.7 The Game remind you, call 811 and know what's below before you dig. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. Special Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame edition of the show as I'm broadcasting live from downtown Natchitoches, home of the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame Museum and induction ceremony, which will be taking place Saturday evening here. We've covered a lot of topics today. Had some terrific interviews with Hall of Famers going in this year. Longtime Peabody head boys basketball coach Charles Smith, as well as iconic Southern baseball coach Roger Cador, and even got to borrow the ear, so to speak, of Lieutenant Governor Billy Nunn Gesser. Coming up, though, we got an interview that I was able to grab yesterday of LSU All-American, a member of the 1958 National Championship team, one of the most revered teams in LSU history, Max Fugler.
It's basically the reason. It's basically the reason we bow now when LSU defense comes off of the field. It's got a lot to do with this Max Fugler fellow.
That's correct. And he's in. By the way, back in his day, he played on both sides of the football.
Right.
You know,
it was 10-on-10 football, and we had 13 guys on the team, and one of them was a kicker.
Yes. Yes. It was terrific and such, and definitely means a whole lot to him to be inducted. You know, one of his best friends was Billy Cannon, the late, great Billy Cannon. So terrific interview coming up with another Hall of Famer in this next segment. But, hey, if you want to give us a phone call, talk about anything, LSU baseball, Super Regional this weekend against Florida State, Saints Hall of Fame, or the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, feel free to call the ARCO Equipment Hotline. 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. We'll have some time right now to talk to you as well as at the end of the show.
I have a question, Cody. Raymond.
By all means.
When Peyton Manning doth arrive, at the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame today, correct? You said, or he's coming tomorrow?
He's coming in. He's coming in today, and he's having a separate press conference this afternoon around 5:30
okay.
at the museum.
Can I? Great, perfect. Can I get you somehow, some way to either hum or whistle or sing the nationwide jingle while he is at the podium? Just because I want to see. I would love to know his reaction if someone in the crowd just went like, and then see what he does with that.
Or just scream out Omaha.
Chicken parm, you taste so good. I mean, Peyton Manning is a treasure. There are a lot of ways you can go with it. Also, ask him how it was meeting John Cena when they voiced Ferdinand together. Peyton Manning was the voice of Guapo in the movie Ferdinand, while John Cena voiced the titular character. Ask him how it was meeting John Cena, please. So those are my two requests. Nationwide jingle, don't forget, and how was it to meet John Cena?
So Cody Schutz, producer extraordinaire back there in the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing, is requesting that I, Raymond Parsa III, when interviewing Peyton Manning later today.
Yes, Super Bowl champion, future Hall of Famer, NFL MVP.
Right,
that guy.
One of the greatest to ever do it, considered in many ways the greatest quarterback of all time. That
okay, good. We're talking about the same Peyton Manning then. Good.
Yes, yes. To hum the nationwide theme to him. Scream out Omaha. I could also, if you wanted to, Cody, I could also bring in some kids and he can recreate that SNL skit where he just plunked kids with footballs, which was my favorite Peyton Manning moment of all time, by the way, because that was so unexpected.
Don't forget, I need you to ask him how it was working with John Cena.
Oh, and of course, I need to make sure to ask him how was it working with John Cena.
It's funny, I watched Ferdinand yesterday. It just happened to be on one of the movie channels, and Kason was chilling with me, so we put Ferdinand on. It's really funny, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, hilarious guy. Hilarious guy.
How devastated are you going to be, though, if I do ask him that? And because, you know, the animated movies,
right,
a lot of times they're not in the same
going.
Room. They
yeah.
record at different times. What if he has no idea who John Cena is?
Well, that's not going to happen. The more likely thing is that Peyton Manning would be like, oh, man, I actually never got a chance to meet John during, you know, recording or whatever. You know, we did different schedules and we recorded separately, so I never got a chance to meet. But I think if
what
that
if
was
does,
the case,
you
would be very sad.
You can't see me hand gesture, Cody. What if he does the hand gesture when I ask him? What if he just instinctively does the John Cena hand gesture over his face?
I was going to say, well, then he'd become my favorite Manning son, but he already is, so he can't do that. No love for Cooper. Although he's funny. He's funny, too. But you know what? If Peyton Manning were to give you the John Cena, you can't see me deal, then it would bump him past and above Harry Connick Jr. for my favorite people from New Orleans. Harry Connick Jr. is probably like number two or three. And I think Peyton would be like right under him. And I think if he would do the John Cena deal, I would flip-flop them, and he would then pass Harry Connick Jr.
Who's your favorite person from New Orleans?
Oh, that's a good one. Number two is Lil Wayne. Just because, you know,
of course.
I love Lil Wayne. And my number one person ever from the city of New Orleans, that's a tough one, man. It can go so many ways because it's like, are we talking like Tennessee Williams? Are we going back that far that, you know, this
you
American.
You can go back as far as you'd like to.
Then I'm going to go with Napoleon Bonaparte. That's going to be my favorite New Orleanian of all time. Or Bobby Hebert, one of the two.
Cody Schutz. Programming reminder.
You know what? No, I'm going to give you a real answer to that. I'm going to give you an actual answer to that. My favorite New Orleanian of all time, Louis Armstrong. He's got the park.
Okay.
He's got the airport. He's got the fame. He is New Orleans, you know, the whole jazz and everything. I'm going to go with that, Louis Armstrong.
I like how you threw in the airport there.
Isn't it the Louis Armstrong International?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but
good. For a second there, I thought I was like, and there's egg on your face, Cody. Thought you knew, but you didn't know.
Oh, man. Programming reminder. We got you covered all weekend for LSU baseball. Game one of the Super Regional versus Florida State will be Saturday. That will be at 2 p.m. Pre-game show will start at 1:30, so you can listen to that live right here on 103.7 The Game. 1:30 pregame, 2 o'clock first pitch. Game two will be Sunday. That will be at 5 o'clock. So pregame for LSU baseball will be at 4:30, first pitch at 5 o'clock. And then if there is a game three, if necessary, we all are hoping that that will not occur because we don't need the stress being placed on Cody Schutz on Monday doing the show, things could get derailed easily if there's too much stress on Cody Schuetz dealing with a deciding game in a super regional for his beloved LSU Tigers.
Yeah, we don't need that.
But if there is one, that's right, we don't need that. But if there is one, we got you covered there too. 7 o'clock, first pitch, 6:30, pregame. So we got you covered all weekend for LSU baseball.
I will say it was kind of the WWE, though, however, to schedule this super showdown on Friday, knowing that the super regional would be played on Saturday, Sunday, possibly Monday. So, you know, I have no conflicts this weekend. I can go watch my WWE today and my college baseball this weekend. So it's all about me, Raymond. It's working out well.
And obviously Vince McMahon is concerned about your well-being, just as much as he's concerned about the well-being of his own wrestlers.
Oh,
there it is. There it is.
God, I wish I had an air horn.
Burn it down! Hey, also, later today, going to keep it live and local right here on 103.7 The Game, Jordy Holberg. For the Jordy Holberg Show, that'll be 2 to 4. The good brother, Ben Love, who's going to be live from Rufino's on the river. Once again, that's been a huge hit. Tremendous guest, the whole nine yards. Ben will be live there from Rufino's on the river from 4 to 6:35. He's going to lead you in to Orioles at Astros pregame. Astro launch will be at 6:35. First pitch at 7 o'clock. If you want to catch the Astros the rest of the weekend, because we got LSU baseball on 103.7 The Game, you just switch it over to our sister station, KVOL, this weekend for that Orioles at Astros series. We'll take care of you on the rewind. When we come back here on RP3 and Company, interview with Max Fugler, soon-to-be Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, LSU All-American, and member of the 1958 National Championship team, right here on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. We're here in Natchitoches for Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame weekend, and I'm sitting here talking to yet another individual who will be inducted this weekend here in Natchitoches as a member of this year's Hall of Fame class. He was a member of the 1958 LSU National Championship team. I don't believe he lost a single game during his high school career there in Faraday during a historic run. He's one of the best to ever do it. It's Max Fugler. Max, let's start off. What does it mean for you to be here this weekend, having so many of your former teammates already enshrined in high school and in college, coaches and everything, and here you are, you're going to be joining them. What does that mean to you?
It's very, very moving to me to be up there with my teammates and with two of my coaches, and Johnny Red Robinson and Paul Dietzel, of course. Billy's here, Johnny's here, Tommy Davis is here, now I'll be here, and I hope many, many LSU followers. That I'm sure they will have a lot from LSU already, and I hope more in the future get the same honor that I'm receiving.
You told a great story during Thursday's press conference about facing off against a future Heisman Trophy winner and how he had this terrific run and about 10 yards of it involved you. Can you retell that story for us?
Well, against Spring Hill, I was in high school. John David Crow, pretty good running back, Heisman Trophy, I think 1956, I believe, was his year. Or it might have been, it was 7, I think. Well, either way. Anyway, we were playing, and John David made a run of about 14 yards, and 10 of it was in the middle of my chest. He was a great football player, and ended up being a very good friend of mine. I used to go to a lot of A&M games with one of my best friends of all time was an Aggie, and I'd go over, and he was a big alumni, and got to know John David real well.
Let's go back to your days growing up there in Faraday. That was one of the great powerhouse programs in the entire state. 50-plus game winning streak. Oh, talk a little bit about the atmosphere, the culture, and what was kind of the tradition there of being a Tiger at that time.
Well, we just grew up a bunch of boys, just like I said earlier this evening. We weren't a team. We were a bunch of friends taking care of one another, and we enjoyed winning. And we had a great coach in Johnny Red Robinson. He put into high school football what Forrest Jefferson Kissy did at Iowa. He put in the wing tee. And we were very successful. No one had ever seen it. And we were going one direction and coming back the other, and they never could pick it up. And it was just a bunch of great athletes came along. And on that, my senior year, we had, as I said, we had 11 on the starting lineup, and 8 of them got scholarship to major universities.
You really never had any other school that you really wanted to go to. I mean, I know other schools recruited you, but you had your heart set on LSU, and I'm pretty sure so did your mama. Can you explain that?
Well, Mother and Abner Wimbler, who was the man who recruited me from LSU, they would destroy invites and plane tickets for me to visit other schools. Now, I visited other schools, and I did visit one, and I won't say who it is yet, but I visited a school, and it was at Mississippi State. And that coach, I really, really enjoyed it. But after I signed with LSU, the next year, he went to Washington. And in the following year, he went from Washington to the University of Texas. His name was Darryl Roll. And Darryl and I have been good friends for a long time, or he's dead now, of course. But Darryl told a story to one of my friends in the oil business one time. I said, if you don't believe me, ask Darryl. Darryl Roll, and he did. We played in golf at in Austin, and Darryl was running the club.
Right.
I said, Darryl, tell Jakey what you told me about LSU coaching job. He's the best coaching job in the United States. Jakey said, why? I said, because you can be head coach and governor.
Oh, we're talking with a member of the 1958 National Championship team at LSU and soon-to-be Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer Max Fugler. Max, talk a little bit about when you get to LSU, how early in the process back then in the 50s did you guys know that you were building something really great? Was there a turning point for you as a player and as a competitor that you realized, hey, we got something going here that could be something special?
Well, it all started coming together the second half of 57. Now, the first half of 57 was ugly. We lost 5. And it was very unusual. But then all of a sudden, we could see things starting to develop. Okay, I'm taking care of him. He's taking care of me. Now, let's get him to join. And that's what it became, a joint operation. And the three-team system really helped, too, because we wore people out.
Right.
They were, and just like they talk about today, these people that are 6'2" or 6'3" that weigh 330 pounds, mm-hmm, and can run a 4.40. I said, they better not go in the real estate business because their tape measure is way off. That's a short 40.
Walk us back through 58. Such a special season, even now after all these years, to the LSU fans, the Bayou Bengal faithful, they still revere that 58 team. You were a huge part of that. Just walk me through that. Some of your favorite memories from that season.
Well, it was the camaraderie of the team and the friendships we had. And on this, I feel that particular team, and I'm honored to be with it, started what became the momentum of building LSU to what it is today. And I think all my teammates that are still alive will say the same thing. We were the first team to ever sell out Tiger Stadium. And that's when it held 69,500. And we sold it out every game after, the fourth game. Then the people started seeing something, too.
You guys win the national championship that year. What did that mean to you guys, especially coming from the year before where you had such a rough start, and then a year later, you guys are national champions, the first in LSU football history. What did that mean to you?
Personally, it was just an honor to be with that team and that group of people, and we're all still friends. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, I think 4, maybe 5 of my teammates will be here for the deal. And one of my dearest friends, Johnny Robinson, will be sitting at my table with me. And I still love him to death. And it was just a special group of people. And I'm honored to be proud of and have them as my friends.
What does it mean? Because I know for years, Billy Cannon being one of them, one of your former teammates, lobbied hard. And anytime they would speak to members of the media and voters on the Hall of Fame committee, you got to get Max in. You got to get Max in. It became a rallying cry for a lot of your teammates from that 58 squad. Does that make this even more special in that you're joining them? And when you still hear stories about them kind of lobbying for you to get into the Hall, well, what does that mean to you?
It's just an honor that a person like Billy, the Heisman Trophy winner. And, of course, Billy and I go way back. Billy and I played in a high school all-star game.
Wow.
And that was called about Wigwam Wiseman, and that was a high school all-star, East against West.
Right.
Sammy Ball was our coach. And on that team was a gentleman named Wahoo McDaniels, who ended up going to Oklahoma. And Wahoo was well-known. Billy wasn't.
Right.
But he put him at the top of the tailback position. Stand right here, young man. And he walked over and asked a couple more and said, okay, that's fine, that's fine. Here comes Billy. Billy, he's got on number 20. What's he got number 20 on for? He's a tackle. But anyway, he said, what do you play? He said, I'm a halfback. He said, what do you run the 100? He said, 9-3. He said, you stand right there and don't move. And he didn't either.
I have to get your thoughts on seeing your alma mater really kind of had a great bounce back year last year. Went to a New Year's Day six bowl game, won 10 games for the first time in a while. What are your thoughts on what Coach Ed Orgeron and the Tigers are building right now in Baton Rouge?
I think Coach Orgeron is doing it the right way. He is not listening to alumni. He is listening to his coaches, and his coaches are telling him what we need, and that's what he's going after. And you can recruit whoever you want to. Football comes down to blocking and tackling. If you're out blocked, you can't tackle.
Right.
You out tackling, they can't block you. That's what it comes to. But he's got good running back. And you get a good lineman, you turn me into a running back. Not really.
Well, Max, I appreciate you making some time for us. Once again, congratulations. Long time coming, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the weekend, and we appreciate you making some time for us.
One more thing. Y'all listen to this program. Remember this. Success is only ahead of work in the dictionary.
Thank you, Max. Appreciate it. That's soon-to-be Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer Max Fugler joining us here on RP3 and Company. We got to hit a break. But there'll be more after this, right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company here on 103.7 The Game. I'm broadcasting live from downtown Natchitoches here for the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame weekend. Cody Schutz is manning the ones and twos, and he's done a hell of a job all morning long back there in the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing.
I have a question.
Thank all of
I know you want to thank everybody, but before you get to that, it's something about, you know, we've been listening.
I was going to thank you first, by the way. I was going to thank
no,
you.
No, that's
first.
Not, especially on an episode like today. That's not necessary. I want to know, though, because you could hear in all the interviews that you talked with, whether it was, you know, Billy Nungesser, Charles Smith, Roger Kadar, or Max Fugler, all the people that you've talked to down there so far, you can hear the room environment behind the interviews when you were talking with them yesterday, and you can hear the buzz and everything happening. That makes me curious of, you know, because I can only get so much of a feel for it just listening to the interviews. What is the excitement? And then another thing, you heard Max talk about it, how many people are going to be coming in this weekend from the old team just to watch him play. So that means that, you know, Charles Smith will have people there. Roger Kadar will have people there. Obviously, Les, Peyton. I don't know. It's just, what is the buzz right now in the little old town of Natchitoches?
It's always a huge deal. It's sold out once again. The actual award ceremony on Saturday night, once again, is sold out.
So not a seat in the house.
Not a seat in the house. And there's so many other things that go on now part of it. There's a later today, later today in Alexandria, there's a charity bowling tournament that's attached with it, with some of the Hall of Famers taking part in that. Some previous Hall of Famers and media members are taking part in that. There's a free concert down here on the river, or not the river, down here on the water.
That little water river, whatever, it's awesome, though. It's on that cobblestone road you're talking about right there.
That's correct.
That's incredible.
Yes. And then that's exactly where the museum's at. If you follow that, to Natchitoches, a lot of people come up to Natchitoches for the Christmas lights.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same street.
Yeah.
The museum's just right down there on the end,
beautiful new facility that was opened up a few years ago.
Just so you know, there's a pretty sweet sushi joint on that road, too, somewhere along there, closer to the end of the road. Yeah, there's a sweet sushi joint if you want to check that out. But Mama's and Papa's is probably where you should probably eat, most likely.
Yes, or Laison's, or Mariner's. There's tons of different places up here that you can go. But the buzz is always great, Cody, and it's usually great because of the diversity of the class. And this year is no exception. I mean, if you look at this class, yes, you got Peyton Manning coming in. He's a big name. We all know that. Les Miles is another big marquee name. But, you know, you have the first professional rodeo cowboy from Louisiana being inducted, 92 years old. Okay,
right.
T. Barry Porter, he's being inducted, and there's been a lot of buzz about him and meeting him. He only has one arm, by the way. I wrote the story for the Hall of Fame on him. He lost it in a bulldozing accident, and then, you know, the week after that, he's back on his farm doing chores at the age of 85 at the time when he suffered the accident. So, you know, he's here. So you got a rodeo cowboy. You have the first volleyball player that's being inducted as well. You know, a five-time Olympian. You have Matt Dunnigan. Just to let you know, they had the Grey Cup. The Grey Cup was in the building. I got my picture taken
That's the CFL thing, right?
That's the CFL thing.
Yeah.
Matt Dunnigan, who was a star at Louisiana Tech, he was 6 Grey Cups.
Get down.
They brought the Grey Cup there, and they actually let you take your photo with it, and they print it out. They old-school print out a photo for it. I got a photo of me.
So it's like when you go see Santa Claus at the mall, except it's the Grey Cup? That's awesome.
People were excited about that. Now, some people didn't know what it was until it had to be explained to them that that's the Grey Cup, but people got excited about that. And, you know, so it's such a diverse class. You got basketball with Charles Smith. You got Roger Cador for baseball. And so it crisscrosses the whole state. Terrific class. You know, personally, for me, I'm thrilled about being up here because one of my dear friends and my mentor, Philip Timothy, who used to work at the Daily Advertiser for many years and then worked at the Town Talk in Alexandria, a man I credit to a lot of my development as a sports journalist. He's receiving the DSA, the Distinguished Service Award, so I'm happy to be up here for him for that as well. So it's always a great buzz because of the diversity, and everyone is so humbled. You know, when you talk to all these soon-to-be inductees, they're all so humbled by it all, and you should see him. I was watching Charles Smith walking around looking at on the first floor of the museum. They have all the names of all the inductees over the years, and they have these digital screens. You can go touch screen, and you can pull up, search Hall of Famers by hometown or last name or sport, right? Wow. And seeing Charles Smith going around and saying, I remember him, or I know him, or I knew her. And Roger Cador, someone had to show him how to use the touch screen. And he got all excited about that. And they have the displays of the memorabilia, too, on the second floor. And they have all the great Saints stuff, including Bobby Hebert's Sports Illustrated cover and, you know, Super Bowl memorabilia for the Saints. And it's just a tremendous experience. And, you know, it is one of the best state sports museums probably in the entire region of the United States. It just is the money put into the museum, the
it's
display.
Like the,
and then,
it's like the SEC, the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, just means more.
Oh, it just means more. And it's always a good time. Natchitoches is a great town to host this. You know, everyone comes in. It's always a sellout. It's always hard to find a hotel room, and the whole nine yards. So it's just. It's a tremendous experience, and like what you heard there,
really,
you know,
cool.
we had the presser, and then they had the cocktail hour afterwards, and that's when you could have the Hall of Famers one on one. So you know that's why I was able to grab everyone. So people are just walking around and running into Hall of Famers, and that's the other thing about this weekend, Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do you have this class, right, that'll be in brought on stage, and Lynn Rollins, a friend of the station who we've had on a lot, and Ben's had a lot on his show. He does the question and answer session with them on stage, and they get brought up, and there's a video montage and the whole nine yards. But every year, previous inductees, people already in the Hall of Fame come, and they come on stage as well, too. So one year I got a story, you know, one year I got to meet Willis Reed. And, you know, got to, you know, meet him, and you'll run into people or Shaq or someone like that. So it's always a tremendous, tremendous weekend from start to finish. So I'm thrilled. Want to thank everyone yesterday. Max Fugler, Roger Kadar, Charles Smith being inducted this weekend, giving me some time to interview them, as well as Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, a big supporter of the Hall of Fame and everything that we do up here. Reminder, LSU, Florida State, Super Regional this weekend. We got you covered Saturday, pregame 1:30, first pitch 2 o'clock. Sunday's game, pregame 4:30, first pitch 5 o'clock. You can listen to it live right here on 103.7 The Game. Cody, have a tremendous weekend. Enjoy going out to the box, my friend.
I will. I found out I actually might not be even going with my dad. My dad might bite the bullet and give the ticket to my younger sister. So either way, I know I have a ticket. That is happening. It's either going to be with Papa Schutz or with my baby sister. Either way, I am excited. I'm pumped. Give me the Tigers in two.
Tigers in two, my man says. Let's hope it's Tigers in two because that will make Monday's show go far smoother. Oh, it's tremendous. Hey, keep it live and local here. Jordy Holberg show later today from 2 to 4. And then the good brother, Ben Love, he's going to be live from Rufino's on the river starting at 4 o'clock. He's going to lead you into Astro launch at 6:35. It was a tremendous week. Thanks to Cody Schutz back in the 237 Roof Studios. Y'all have a great day. Be safe out there. Enjoy the weekend. And we'll talk to you on Monday.